What's up, America? Happy Life Day, universe. Hey, you know, it's Life Day. You're going to go over to your Wookiee family that you know that lives across the street that you're like kind of cool with and you felt like obligated to at first because they were the new neighbors and they were a little different. And then you all got to know each other and you realize, oh, they're pretty cool, but they're still a little different. But you go there every time they have a party because that's kick-ass, except they're Wookiees, which means they're going to be making shit out of lice. That's true. Look it up. And then you got these weird fruits that have tentacles. It's kind of fucked up. So this year, when you go to your Wookiee family across the street for Life Day, bring them some Malort. If you're hanging with Wookiees and don't like their cookies, wash them down with Malort. Proud sponsor of the Chad the Bird podcast. Hey, it's December. It's late in the year. It's a little bit cold out. And that means it's time to talk about Star Wars.
The Star Wars Holiday Special.
You like me, cause it could go downhill. I can't promise that you love me, but you probably will.
What's going on, everybody? Oh, it's December. Oh, it's cold. And that means we're talking about Star Wars. And for those of you who've never really listened to the podcast before, hi, welcome. Come in, sit down. Let me take your coat. No, you want to keep it on? Yeah, it's pretty cold out. Just have a seat. Do you want anything? We have all kinds of hot beverages. Go ahead. Use the bathroom. It's been a long walk. So for those of you who don't know what this is, so every December, my friend Jen Betancourt comes over and we watch the Star Wars Holiday Special. And we're going to get to the bottom of it one of these years. We're going to figure it out. We're going to crack the code. And maybe this is the year that we do it. And then we go live to the Paper Machete where I do some holiday jazz. Not actual jazz, talkie jazz. I don't know. Spoken word, whatever. It's cool. And then we come back and we'll do 2 minutes, 10 questions, like we did last time with Mark Chrysler. So there it is. Now you know what you're getting. Now we can do it. Much like the start of the Star Wars Holiday Special, where the guy just goes, hey, it's where everything's coming, brr, brr, brr. And then you're like, oh, thank you for that table of contents. But before we get too weird, let's welcome our patron of the arts and true trooper who knows how to shoot straight, Jennifer Betancourt.
Hello. Thanks for having me. Happy Life Day.
Happy Life Day. And happy second viewing of the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Oof.
So let's start there. Jen, you just watched it. You just finished it.
I did.
Where are you at right now? You've got notes.
I do. I have 2 pages, front and back, of notes that I've taken extensively. Honestly, biggest thing that stood out to me this time, I don't care for the way anyone treats Mala, Chewbacca's wife, for those that are unfamiliar.
If you are unfamiliar with anything, that's on you. You knew what you were getting into starting this podcast up again. It's December. We do this all the time.
Yeah. There's just a lot of brush off of Mala, which really was hurtful upon a second reviewing.
She's literally working the entire movie.
Working the entire movie and very concerned about her husband when she tries to contact anyone, like Luke. He's like, well, come on. When he does come home, he's not going to want to come home to that sour puss, Missy. Why don't you put a little smile on there?
He really does. He's like, don't look so sad when he comes back. It'll make him sad.
Yep.
And he's working hard, smuggling.
Yep.
Let's not forget that.
They're smugglers.
They're smugglers. He's not doing anything noble right now. He's stealing shit.
Right. They try to make it seem like they are very in the rebellion, which really, I guess they are, but they don't commit until the end of Empire, really.
That's true, but like they do some good stuff. Well, they were knighted, or he didn't get a medal, but like everybody else on his team did.
Bummer.
No, that was the thing. If you go back and watch the last scene from Star Wars, he doesn't get a medal. Everybody else gets one, right? Am I right about that? I feel like that was a thing that was like a point of contention amidst the fandom. I'm going to Google it while you're talking. Continue.
I don't remember getting hung up on it, but they also could have just CGI'd one in retrospect. Oh, also, fun fact that I also noticed this time, 3PO in the cartoon has 2 golden legs, which he does
that,
not.
He does not. No, mm-hmm. He has a silver leg, mm-hmm. Which was when they were all like, yeah, see, Chewbacca doesn't get a medal at the end of the movie.
Oh, bummer.
That's the thing. Why didn't he get a medal? Because who wants to, like, that guy can rip arms off. You don't want to get near that. That's crazy.
I would give him a medal.
I would, yeah,
honestly,
I guess for his work. He did a lot of work.
That's why you
work.
Let him win space chess.
Yeah, C-3PO, hodgepodge, patchwork man.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting.
Does he have the silver one in A New Hope? Oh, he does.
He does.
Okay, cool.
Because when I first learned about the Mandela effect, I was like, nah, he doesn't get the silver leg till later. No, He has it.
The entire time.
Hope. Yep.
All right, so let's dive in deep to the holiday special, which is arguably the greatest thing that ever happened to Star Wars. Oh, by the way, we're recording this before Rise of Skywalker came out, so I have no opinion on it whatsoever. I'm just excited to be here.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to participate. We'll talk about it eventually. A new dirt. All right, so if you could make, Jen, if you could make an entire show out of one of the vignettes from the Star Wars Holiday Special, what would you pick, which vignette, and pitch me that show?
I'm so glad you asked.
I didn't really even ask. And, it was more of a demand.
And I feel like this is going to be an obvious choice, but hear me out on this. It's obviously the Bea Arthur and Mos Eisley Cantina. But here's the thing. I think this has a much bigger scope than what we've seen. This is a great setup to a holiday time murder mystery musical. Because I firmly believe she's dead in episode 2 had we continued with this. But who did it? Which of the rogues in the Mos Eisley Cantina is responsible? She has a wonderful farewell number telling everyone like to have a last drink. And then what's his name? Krellman? Is still there at the end. Did he do it? Did he not? Who shot Mr. Burns?
He's clearly a stalker. Like, and he's a creepy weird one too, because he's got that weird head thing.
I don't like it. It didn't get better.
None of that's good.
I knew it was coming and I still did not like it.
What did she pour? Doesn't she pour the thing into his head?
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, there you go. That's the spot.
Because
people do that. I don't care if you're an alien. You don't pour a drink into somebody else's mouth. That's not a thing that you do to someone.
Yeah, not, and especially not when they are stalking you?
Question mark? No, right. It's confirmed.
You don't get them drunker. I assume he already is, just a little.
That's true. He is at the bar, sitting by the bar, hitting on the bartender, and she's just like, here, have a drink.
Have more drinks. And then, just to continue my pitch just a little bit.
No, I'm locked. Let's do it.
Wonderful.
Greenlit.
I just think some things that are also... some more pluses. You don't have to get many more costumes. Whatever the creature feature of the week is, just bring them on in.
Yeah.
They're the extras. And then you don't really have to make up new music, which no one bothered to do for this holiday special.
Why stop now?
Just sing the same
song. You've
made
it clear. You're just going to sing that one song.
Mm-hmm. Over
and over. And over. What's the title of your show?
Oh, my God. Now that's where you've got me. I'm open to like creative input on
this. All right. So it's Mos Eisley, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got the gang of weird aliens, and it's a bartender, so it's kind of like Cheers.
It is kind of like Cheers.
Right? So, I don't know. What's a thing they yell in Star Wars? And that's it. It's
punch
just,
it?
Utini.
Utini.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
Episode 1. I've got a bad feeling about this. It's the chapters. It's binge-worthy.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
You guys watching Utini tonight? Yeah, here we're going to learn who killed the woman from the beginning. Oh, I bet it was that Krellman guy. Krellman.
That's what they want you to think.
Krellman. Whatever his name is. Head drinky man.
Head drinky man.
Number eight. Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
Chewbacca is a terrible father. Discuss.
Well, first of all, his lack of being there before the day of life day.
Seriously, you get home at least a day early. You don't try to travel on the day.
And
you're already asking for trouble.
And you know before the day of if you're going to make it or not. You send out communications before they're blocked.
And if you have the ability to have a communications mid-flight, hey, I'm running late. Sorry, we're definitely not doing a crime right now. I gotta go.
Everything's fine here.
Yeah, how are you?
How are you?
Nerds!
But he doesn't even give that consideration. Also, I firmly believe, again, upon a second rewatching, Lumpy likes Han better.
Yeah, he definitely goes right for the leg, doesn't he?
He goes straight to Han, and I wouldn't blame him, because when Chewbacca comes to protect Lumpy from the stormtrooper, he goes to Lumpy's side, not in front of him.
No, he just stands.
He like stands
casually
like,
there like, which one are you going to hit first? You hit me or the kid?
Wait,
you won't be that guy?
Yeah.
You're like, or just pick your kid up. Are you serious?
Yeah, you kind of got the drop a little bit on the stormtrooper. I don't know. Do something better.
Also, totally a criminal. Like, let's not forget.
Yeah.
I mean, I may be for the side of good, but also still a criminal.
Still a criminal.
I mean, you know, hey, man, everybody's got a record. But, like, Chewbacca's is a pretty extensive one. Also killed a couple guys.
A couple, yeah. That was, like, den littered in body parts.
He's murdered quite a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go farther back in the movie, it's kind of, if you go back, if we're doing the whole saga,
mm-hmm.
like, you meet him in Revenge of the Sith for some stupid reason. And he's, like, you know, he's full-on soldier mercenary guy that helps Yoda. So he's, like, a straight-up, you know, whatever the Kashyyyk version of patriotism is. So he's like fighting for his planet, cool, hates fascism, great.
Yeah.
Turns to a life of crime after the Empire wins, totally redeemable, understand. But he killed a lot of people.
And never once mentioned that this is for my family, this is for my son, yeah. no mention of them.
Just doing
at
it,
all.
Hanging out with his stoner buddies, flying around, playing games in the space.
Yeah.
Which we have to assume he's been married for a while, because Lumpy's conceivably what? 10
at least, right?
So we know that that's happening during all of the smuggler running that we meet them, you know, when we meet him in the cantina.
Unless species age differently and could be 50.
He could be 50. Oh, we just may never know.
Right.
Okay, number 3. How does one celebrate Life Day, and what is it we're actually celebrating?
This was confusing. But also,
was it?
But also, not confusing at all.
Because also, once I stopped using my brain and just let myself relax, it made no sense, and I was fine with it.
Because Life Day is, in fact, from what I can gather from Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. That's real. You can just jump on it right now, Clark.
Yeah.
Sure I could.
That's how I found out Chewbacca didn't get a medal. Anyway, continue.
It's a celebration of, stay with me, life. The renewal of the passage of time, honoring dead loved ones, and the life tree.
Space!
Ooh. And space, yeah. Because they were like, well, they used to celebrate it every 3 years and just on Kashyyyk, but then they started inviting people, and now they do it every year, and everybody's invited. And
according to Wikipedia, that's because they strengthened their love of the holiday from being captors from the Galactic Empire.
Also,
I did not know this. Well, now you do.
Oh, good. Also, they pledge a life debt to each other.
Yeah, isn't that like...
Yep, that was a little snuck in at the last minute. It was like, and also everyone that's there pledges a life debt to one another. I was whoa,
extreme.
That's a lot.
That means a lot, right? Like, that means I not just die for you, but like, doesn't that mean like you would kill for me, right?
Yeah. Nope.
It's like a white elephant, and you didn't know it was a white elephant, and
you're
like,
me.
I didn't bring a gift. Oh, no, it's a white elephant party. I'm like, use my shoe. Fuck, I'm going to lose that shoe. I'm going to have to trade it back, and now I'm going to get a PSP in there, and then I'm going to be the one that ends up with it and be like, sweet, guess fuck that shoe, and then I'm walking home with one shoe. That may have happened to me at one point.
Oh, good.
Avenge my death.
Yeah, instead, they're just like, okay, so I pledge a life. I'm going to go with you. Is it cool? They're like, oh, yeah, what are we doing? So I'll kill for you.
And vice versa. Need someone murdered.
I can text you out of the blue. Let me get your number before you go. Find me on Facebook, too. I'll DM you. I think it's probably better that way.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of like, bugaha. And then that's it. You're sitting there eating lice syrup. Did you read
lice
that?
Lice syrup. I did not read about lice syrup.
Yeah,
I...
lice syrup. Hold on. We're not going to gloss over this Life Day thing. I'm just
pointing. No.
I just want to make sure we're all very clear on what happens during Life Day.
Yeah, I just want to touch on the Orga route before
go there first, and we'll get to it. Sorry, Clark. We're going to talk about the Orga route first.
That was a little scary. So. You shouldn't want to touch on the
orchid. Oh, we're
good. I do. Okay. Well, only if the plant allows, because it is a sentient plant will defend itself.
It doesn't like people touching it.
Yeah, but it will give you the old vines it's done with, which I assume is like toenail clippings or
delicious
like hair. But when ingested, sends you on a spiritual journey to the life tree. This is what happens in the movie.
Yep.
Well, movie is a strong term for a holiday special, but...
It's definitely a thing that occurred during it.
Yep.
Peyote.
Essentially.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So they're all high, is what happens. Chewbacca comes home, and everybody gets high.
Well, he is clearly the hippiest of all of the Star Wars creatures.
So sidebar, besides the Orga root, there's the Rocher lice syrup... which are little lice that hang out in the tree because they're tree people, so they eat a lot of bugs.
They are tree people.
They're little insects, and they would process them in their distilleries to make a syrup. It doesn't say what they put the syrup on, so in my mind, they're just snarfing on bowls of just syrup.
Syrup?
Just, you guys want some syrup? You're like, well, I wouldn't say no to some syrup, but do you have something I can use to put it on? Because this just, nope, no, we're just going right for it. Okay.
I would think hairy creatures would not like syrup.
Syrup.
You would think, but bears do like honey. It's been proven.
Oh, man.
That's what we're eating.
Deep cut.
Hey, guys, take a minute with that. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, there you are, pledging a suicide run for your buddy that you don't know, drinking bowls of syrup.
Absolutely.
Hanging out, celebrating life, getting ripped.
Getting ripped and just holding hands for a minute.
Sometimes you guys want to hold, no, I'm good on syrup. Just hold hands for a second. Let's just all be together.
Let's just be together.
Let's just watch this holographic dancer.
Oh, we'll get there. Man. Don't worry. Yeah. We're going there. We always have to go there.
I know. And it just is why. Is my question. Again, knowing it was coming, I was like, there it is. Why?
Yeah.
Why is one big and all the rest are little? I don't know.
So then you see the orb, which takes you to space, mm-hmm. where you hang out with all your friends mm-hmm. at the weird little temple that's mostly fog. Mm-hmm. And then you sing a song, and then life day.
And then that's it.
You use orbs to decorate the tree. I read this, that you've life day orbs. They're crystalline orbs to decorate the tree of life, which I thought was a giant tree in space.
I thought so.
I was confused. Do you just fly to the space tree and then you have to do work? But I feel like it's work going to the space tree.
They seem to be having a little bit of fun because
they're wrecked.
It is a spiritual journey. Again,
yeah, I'm having a spiritual journey right now. All right, let's mm-hmm. break it down. So then what we're celebrating is life.
Life. Okay. And the life tree, according to legend, has started life on Kashyyyk and
right.
is responsible for the birth, if you will, of Wookiee culture.
So they're pod people that grew on a tree. Pod people.
I don't know if they grew on the tree, but somehow they attribute their entire existence to this tree, which is why they honor it.
Well, we honor the tree. The tree gives us many gifts. Remember, it's a giving tree. So, right, there it is.
Bummer.
Yeah. It's Arbor Day, right?
Yeah, also Arbor Day is
mixed
there now.
With a little bit of Thanksgiving.
A little bit of Thanksgiving.
And like a little bit of Hanukkah?
Mm-hmm. And
maybe
some Christmas.
And some Christmas in there. Okay, I can see that. Yeah, all right, makes sense. Cool.
The Snuggies are certainly Christmas colored.
Yes. That's right. They all have slankets.
Mm-hmm.
Are they? Do you get them when you're a kid? Is it like a bar mitzvah? But you have to get a new one because you're going to grow.
I think only spiritual blankets is what they are because they don't have it when they're back at the house, just in like tripping time.
Yeah, when they commune mm-hmm. spiritually
with the life tree.
All right, good. So happy life day, everybody. Let's get wrecked.
Yeah.
All right, and finally. Jen, I gave you some homework.
You did.
Bring in an amazing fact about the making of this show, and let's see whose fact is better.
Okay.
Go. Fly. Let fly.
So,
punch it!
Considering the holiday special is canon now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In more ways than one.
That makes Bea Arthur's character, Akmina, the third speaking role for a woman in Star Wars ever.
Interesting.
Yep.
Okay. That's okay.
Yep.
That's about it. I don't really have much else.
So who's number two?
Luke's aunt.
So she's the first one. Beru's the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not first.
Wait, no, the first is Leia. Wait, what about, we're counting the saga though?
Hmm?
Are we counting the whole saga? Because wouldn't technically Natalie Portman's character...
Well, like, I mean, from the 70s. So we're going, like, A New Hope and then the Christmas special, like, as they came out. You know what I mean?
So, oh, okay.
So
all right, makes
time,
sense.
At the time.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice.
Got a little wrapped up in the Star Wars timeline.
He just loves...
As opposed to the actual
right.
timeline.
I just assumed that's what we were doing.
Yeah. Chad just loves episodes 1, 2, and 3 so much.
I don't. I just need, you need to have them for context. It's important. So, because I'm getting ready for The Rise of Skywalker, I'm doing the machete cut.
Right. I did that for Thanksgiving.
I think it's the best way to watch it.
Yes.
Because then you skip over Phantom Menace entirely, and you do Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith after you do Empire Strikes Back. So they're like a weird mm-hmm. flashback, and then it's like, all right, whatever, nonsense. Now we're back on the thing. All right, here we are, back in the real time, yeah. right?
And so, you get to come back to Luke's amazing scene as a full-fledged Jedi.
Right.
So it's great.
So and he gets it, and he kind of dresses like Anakin in Revenge of the Sith, which I think is pretty interesting.
True.
So my fact, we all know that the opening of that film is entirely in Wookiee. For yeah. an uncomfortably long time.
Correct.
With no subtitles.
Nope.
So you're left wondering if maybe your subtitles are accidentally off. And if you put them on, it just says Wookiee speaker, like growling or whatever. So then you're just like, well, maybe I'm just insane. Turns out the reason that happened is because George Lucas got in a fight with the writer, one of the writers, and the writer of that scene who complained that this part was stupid because we couldn't understand them was Bruce Valanche. So Bruce Valanche and George Lucas fought about it, and Lucas won. So that's my fact. Because I'm like, why did that happen? That's
yeah.
the one, outside of the plethora of madness and bedlam that is the holiday special,
it's
that's
airtight.
The one that always stuck with me. I was like, who sat down and was like, hey guys, maybe this is going on a little too long. And then some other was like, shut the hell up, Tim. You're such a buzzkill. Tim's like, no, I'm pretty sure this is going on for way too long. No one understands what anyone is saying. They're not doing like mom and shots, like mime work
nope.
or any kind of
no.
bodily actions to show, like, here, this is what I'm feeling. It's just like crazy head bobs and like staring at the camera, and then one of them growls, and you're like, all right, I guess that was a conversation.
Yeah,
maybe that's on me. Maybe I'm just an asshole that doesn't understand Wookiee.
You're not,
really wanted that to happen except for George Lucas.
That's bananas. I did know Bruce Valanche was one of the writers, because one of my other facts that I found, I did a lot of digging.
Cool.
Did a lot of digging
cool.
for this. Was they were pretty ripped on cocaine a lot of the time.
You don't say.
So I do
that
say.
Makes this in Maximum Overdrive the cokiest movies ever made.
Oh yeah.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Cause that's the writer's room for that. Cause that's what that whole thing feels like. It's like, wait, okay. So
then
he turns on a hologram machine. There's funk dancers and they do a whole dance number. Hold up. And then the Nazis show up and it's like, oh, she's gonna toss that kid's room. Yeah, it's good drama. And then
the kid's room.
Just the kid's room, nobody else's room. Then grandpa's he's totally jacking it in the corner. Yeah, definitely. Oh, Bruce,
that's amazing.
Man, killing the game. And yeah. then, okay, well, this is a cartoon, we gotta have a cartoon in there. Which, as we said last year, is yep. probably the best part of the entire series of the show. Not just because it's the coolest part of the show, because it's pretty decent,
yeah.
but because they didn't seem like they even knew it was coming. Because in the beginning, when they're doing that traditional, like, welcome to NBC Movie Day. Here's the stuff that you're going to see today. And he just gets, he's like, with this guy and this guy and a cartoon.
Yeah. Wait, there's a cartoon in this?
There's a cartoon? Keep it. It's great. We're doing this live.
Can someone make a cartoon?
We got one. We got one in the hopper. It's pretty good.
Oh, great. Good. Great.
Because that's the part where they're like watching it from the TV studio and they're just like, oh, that was pretty good. Why don't we just do a cartoon? No, we're going back. Oh, we're going back. All right. We're live in 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
Tim's sitting in the back next to Bruce Valanche. Yeah, no, this sucks. Bruce Valanche is like, oh, I'm already drunk.
I told you it was.
I told you it was going to suck. Ah, oh, Bruce Valanche jokes. Good on us.
Timely.
Just finger on the pulse of the world, peoples. All right, so much in the spirit of the Star Wars Holiday Special, we're now going to go like live to some random nonsense that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. And for that, we go live to me. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Or so the song says. It also says it's the happiest. And who wouldn't want more hap in their happy? That's a double dose of hap in just one time of the year. That's a damn fine deal, if you ask me. You also get marshmallows for toasting and parties for hosting and caroling out in the snow, which I'm gonna skip, because I don't like acapella singing in general, let alone in the fucking cold, but hey, you do you. Not gonna yuck your Yuletide yum. Just gonna stay in and get after some of them scary ghost stories that we're apparently telling. That's in the song. Lest you get mad at your kids for being goth around this time of year, Karen. Andy Williams basically wants you to throw a party, toast some schmallows, sing a little outside, and then get by the fire for some holly jolly horror tales. It's practically summer camp, and that does indeed sound happy, so let's get after it, because we don't have a choice. The Christmas season is here, and it's been here since October. Tinsel in every dollar store. Little robot Santa's dancing ass out of the window of every business on the street. And Walgreens looks like Christmas shit the wall. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. It's the most wonderful time of the year, whether you like it or not. God help you if you have a Halloween decoration out past November. There's really nowhere to escape. You could huddle the family in a bunker deep in the Nevada desert and still come across Christmas because it's in the air. It's in our lungs. We're literally breathing Christmas right now. Cough in your hands. See if there's glitter. And nowhere is it more aggressive than the Hallmark Channel. Heralding the coming of the season, the Hallmark holiday film involves a person, woman, usually looking for the true meaning of the holidays, Christmas, and finds it in the most unlikely place ever, a dude, which makes it snow. Everything's great. Back to the cul-de-sac. It is indeed a white Christmas. Cranking them out like elves. The network premiered 35 original movies in a year from 2009 to 2010, so who the hell knows how many there are in 2019? You might be watching one right now. In an unstoppable tidal wave of light, non-threatening entertainment starting October 1st and running until January 1st, because that's how long Christmas actually lasts. People are here for it. So much so that in its 10th year, Hallmark's annual Countdown to Christmas had over 85 million viewers. And in 2019, the VP of programming, Michelle Vickery, announced that Hallmark would be releasing two Hanukkah films for the season due to the fact that, quote, we've heard over the years that people want to see a Hanukkah movie if a script came to us that we liked. And that happened this year, twice. Finally opening the doors of Christmas to Jews. Hallmark released Holiday Date and Double Holiday on December 14th, welcoming the Jewish experience into the most wonderful time of the year for the first time. Holiday Date follows Brooke, who breaks up with her boyfriend just before introducing him to her family for the holiday, so she's forced to enlist the help of an actor named Joel to impersonate her boyfriend at the Christmas gathering. But here's the twist. Joel's Jewish, and so shenanigans ensue when he tries to celebrate. The second Hanukkah movie, Double Holiday, is about a Jewish woman named Rebecca, whose boss asks her to plan the office Christmas party with a rival employee named Chris to get a promotion. And in the end, they learn that, quote, while the traditions and celebrations are different, the feelings of holiday and celebration and family and togetherness are the same. Now, granted, the idea of Jewish people being forced to celebrate Christmas does not a Hanukkah movie make. That is a Christmas movie with Jews in it. You put a little cream in your coffee, that's still coffee. You want coffee ice cream, you gotta go to Cold Stone and get the real shit. But that's not my problem. Because unless Joel grew up on a kibbutz in the mountains void of Wi-Fi or was an actual Mesopotamian Jew that fell into a time machine and fell out in 2019, he would know how to celebrate fucking Christmas. Everybody knows how, whether we like it or not, because it's fucking everywhere. The idea that Brooke asks poor Joel to lie about being Christian also reinforces some old-timey anti-Semitic shit from the playbook. Because of course he'd lie, right? Jews are shifty, right? They exist outside the pure Christian snow globe of holly jolly purity. No way you're gonna ask Karen to lie for you. That's not a thing you do during the Christmas. Never mind the fact that Jesus wasn't born in December, he's from the desert, and most of the shit you do during this time of the year is pagan, but hey, don't lie. And as for poor Rebecca, toiling away, merging her holiday Jewishness into her rival Chris's Christmas faith to plan the perfect holiday party to get a promotion, that's just saying that a Jewish person will do anything for a leg up. So what about these Hanukkah movies appeal to actual Jews who know what Hanukkah is? It would be way more entertaining if Joel asked Brooke to come over to wise her ass up about the fact that not everybody celebrates Christmas, and then she had to spend Hanukkah with his entire family. And the only way they could get to the Chinese restaurant is in an old Lincoln where only three of the seatbelts work. On the other end of town, Rebecca makes a huge brisket for the office, and Chris goes home with shitty snowman cookies, so he's forced to learn the magic of Bubby's cooking, and the office is better for it. When you use another culture to further the magic of your own, you're saying that your way is normal. And some people are just into weird shit, so let's accept that they're different and have our normal fun. When in reality, Karen, not everyone celebrates the winter with sparkly trees and eggnog. Some people live in the desert, but even they know what Christmas is because it's fucking everywhere. Look, who doesn't love a suburban winter gathering? But does it have to be Christmas? It can just be festive because it's cold and gray and horrible out and we're snug inside. House looks good, everybody's in a sexy sweater, food's good, and we're DTF. You want to reach across the aisle to show that we're all the same, but we're not. Some of you celebrate a commercialized version of a religious holiday co-opted by Hallmark, and the rest of us are drunk because it's winter. Getting an extra hap and you're happy is great. That's a great deal. But if you don't get a choice, is it really the most wonderful time of the year? Anyway, what I'm saying is stay in your lane and happy holidays.
Oh, me.
That was really excellent.
Thank you. I felt the same. Would you like some Hoth chocolate? Jen, what is Hoth chocolate?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's one of my all-time favorite Life Day beverages. Hoth chocolate is a mixture of Tauntaun milk. Not making it up. I just panicked.
Oh, yeah. No, this is real. This is canon, people.
Tauntaun milk, spices, and cocoa, which somehow also exists in a galaxy far, far away by the same name.
Listen, if you're going to come at me with "I hated The Last Jedi, it was the dumbest thing to happen to Star Wars," I will politely ask you to turn in this direction and recall that they do have something called Hoth chocolate.
Hoth.
Made from chocolate.
And Tauntaun milk.
And Tauntaun. It's still milk. And chocolate. Yeah. It's just milk. It's chocolate milk.
Yep.
Made, but they're like, but it's space chocolate milk.
But you see.
And it's a play on words that make no sense.
Tauntauns come from Hoth.
Yeah, you see how that works? All right, so you can just sit down there, okay? Mr. Facebook troll.
Calm down.
I'm in no mood for your sass.
Sir.
Sir or madam, I don't know. All right, so Jen, before we came back from the brief intermission there, you said you had a fun fact, which is welcomed.
There used to be a plot to the holiday special.
That's it. That's the whole fact.
Yes. So in a 1980 interview in Preview Magazine.
Ooh, Preview Mag.
It was revealed that the original plot was supposed to open on a Wookiee family with an adult Wookiee princess briding the story of Star Wars to a Wookiee child.
Wow. Would have watched.
And then we smash cut to Chewbacca's family, where Chewbacca is present and Lumpy has run away. And it's about them finding Lumpy.
Oh, I'm 100% in for this movie.
Yep.
Yes. Yes and yes. That's way more interesting than whatever happened this time around.
Yep. But then...
And a little less dark.
Way less dark.
Because like, there's no like Nazis tossing a child's room in that story. Unless he was kidnapped by Nazis. Oh, wait, there's more.
He wasn't kidnapped by Nazis, but instead of intercepting Chewbacca and Han coming home, the Imperial troopers were stopping a ship full of Wookiees coming back to Kashyyyk for...
Kazook!
Kazook. I'm sorry. I'm drunk. I don't know what I'm saying.
Happy Life Day, motherfuckers.
They intercept a ship of Wookiees coming home. So it's really much, it's much better.
Oh, that's a much better story. Mm-hmm. There's like actual stakes involved.
Yep.
And not like, oh, dad's not home. Where is he? Oh, he's out with his friends getting drunk and flying around the galaxy. Uh-oh, Nazis are here.
Uh-oh, space Nazis.
Go hide in your room, son. Grandpa's jacking it in the corner. Okay, so yeah. I'm not going to let that go. Don't worry. So now it's time for everybody's favorite speed round in the history of things that we've only done one other time. And that's 10 questions in 2 minutes. Are you ready?
Yes.
Just remember, there are correct answers. Mm-hmm. And very few people, and by that I mean the only other person we ever played this with, have gotten more than 2 right.
Whoa.
I know, so the pressure's on. Plus, this is a special holiday Star Spacular edition, so it's full of festive tidings.
I love a Star Spacular.
Okay, Jim Beckard, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Han Solo, not Harrison Ford, probably definitely smells like...
Rebellion.
Regret. Number 2, in the cantina scene, B. Arthur is trying to get rid of a bunch of aliens. Which of those aliens was played by Glenn Close?
Twerk the Bouncer.
Trick question, Glenn Close played B. Arthur. Number 3, Harvey Korman had what for breakfast before shooting the cooking segment?
Coke and a little bit of blue milk.
So close, it's gin. Number 4, who did Mala's makeup and hair for the shoot?
Vidal Sassoon.
Oh, very close. It was actually Paul Mitchell, R.I.P. Number 5, if the Fab Five did an episode on Chewbacca's family, who of the 5 would the Wookiees eat first?
Anthony.
Bobby, come on. Because Bobby's the one that stays home the whole time.
Yeah, but wouldn't they be... Fine, whatever.
It's true, Anthony does smell better. Number 6, what do droids like to get each other for presents?
Hot oil baths?
Close. Lube.
Damn it.
Number 6, Princess Leia was drunk on what when she sang the Life Day blessing?
Tequila.
Trick question, that was Glenn Close. Number 8, which religion did Mala convert to after divorcing Chewbacca?
Wicca.
Baptist. Number 9, what is Itchy's favorite sex position?
Cowgirl.
So close.
Reverse cowgirl.
Reverse moof milker. Number 10, what do you want for Life Day?
Hope.
The answer is... You were so close on so many.
I was adjacent. I almost went Bobby.
See, I feel like it's because Bobby's, he's there the whole time. He doesn't go out on the road. After a while, they're going to get hungry.
Yeah, but Anthony's already in the kitchen.
That's true.
And if you're hungry.
I mean, you're not wrong. I feel like but he's just, like, he's so taut. Like, I feel like he would be like a tough
That is also a thought that occurred to me legitimately when
I'm not like, to say that Bobby isn't looking good. I'm just saying Bobby's looks like he eats food.
You're going to want some marbling.
A little bit of marbling.
Yes.
Anyway. Please come on our podcast. So final thoughts about the second viewing of Star Wars, the holiday special, for the second year in a row. It's soon to be the third because it's coming again and we're doing it again.
You know, honestly, it's terrible, but in like a...
Is it?
It's terrible in a really wonderful way.
It's like watching your family put on a skit at Christmas where you're like, oh, this is intolerable, but come on.
It's disappointing, and that makes me like it a little bit more. It certainly has its place in the family.
It's true. It's very holidays. Like, it's a doofy thing you do with your family. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of how it is in the Star Wars universe, too. It's like all this other stuff is, I mean, airtight plot-wise as far as everything Star Wars.
Yes.
Except this.
Plot.
Yeah. It's just like, it's like, okay, well, let's stop caring. It's also unwatchable after about a half an hour, but... Come on, power through.
Truthfully, it gets better in the middle. That first, that first half hour is
that's rough. How you know you're a trooper, is you make it through that whole opening sequence and still go, oh, I'll take some more of this.
And even this second time, I knew it was coming, and I was worried when I wasn't hearing words. As you mentioned, I was just like, whoa, okay, we're still doing this Wookiee thing, huh?
Is this still going? Get up to go get a drink, come back. Oh, we're still doing this?
Right. I know. I didn't want to miss anything, so I just sat there and I stared at it, and I was like, no. It's almost over, right? Oh, good. The holograms are dancing.
Yeah.
Surely someone will talk soon.
Nope. Isn't the first person who actually talks Art Carney? Isn't like the first person? Well, besides the announcer. A cartoon?
Yeah. It's either Art Carney or it's Luke.
I think it's Luke that talks first. All right, that's homework for next year.
Okay.
We have to figure out who talks first.
Fair enough.
Happy Life Day.
Happy Life Day.
And happy Star Wars Month to all of you. I really hope The Rise of Skywalker isn't a total suck fest, but I don't think it will be. But I don't know how that's possible after watching this one. So I think we're good to go. No matter what, it's not the holiday special. And yet we will always have the holiday special.
Always.
Thanks to Barracudas for their kick-ass song Promises that starts our holiday special. And this was brought to you by Malort, the only drink that's probably grosser than Hoth chocolate. The machete piece was recorded at the Green Mill, Chicago's historic Green Mill, in December of 2019. Thanks to Jacob Serio. Thank you very much, bud. And I don't know, Bender, you got anything to add to the mix?
Laugh it up, fuzzball.